So, we'll continue with the David series today. And first question is, who can name all the topics we've covered so far? Okay, so there's no one in the 12 o'clock service that can tell us all the topics we've covered so far. Okay, Micah, save us. All right.
It's destiny, friends, betrayal, revenge, trials, power, and I believe today is lust.
Well done. Well done, Micah. So that those are the topics we've covered so far. Today, we're talking about lust. So, okay. So this week is lust. And then in our small group, I'd like us to discuss two questions. So firstly, what's your understanding of lust? And secondly, what does the scripture say about lust? So what do you think the following scripture says about lust? Oh, let me warn you, sisters in Jerusalem, don't excite love, don't stir it up until the time is ripe and when you're ready. Songs of Solomon 8, verse 4. So let's go for it. I have the privilege of sharing with my husband today. So it's like a, yeah. So it's a tag team situation since January last year. But anyway, so unpacking lust in David's life. But I just want to give some context before we get into the word that we're going to focus on today. So we start off where David has just killed 300 charioteers and 40,000 foot soldiers. And he's also killed the commander-in-chief. So David is at like the height of his career as a warrior, as a slayer of giants, and he's just come back from war. And he's feeling good about himself. I mean, he's got every reason to feel good about himself, right? So we pick up from 2 Samuel chapter 11. Okay, so in the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole of the Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah, the Hittite." Then David sent the messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from the monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." Right? So the part we don't read, the part after this, just to give you guys more context. So Bathsheba's pregnant. Uriah, her husband, is part of David's army. David gets him, brings him to his place, and gets him drunk, right? Uriah gets drunk and is fighting the next day. He's in war and he's put at the front. So David basically orchestrates his death, right? Then after mourning, David summons Bathsheba to become his next wife. So David now has five wives. He's killed Bathsheba's husband, so she's a widow, now newlywed to David, and that's the context, right? So let's unpack it. David remained. Why was David in Jerusalem? He was supposed to be at war with the rest of the guys. Why did he decide to chill at home? So first thing, David forgot his purpose. in that moment, he was happy. He's thinking, ah, you know, accolades, I've killed so many people, I've done this, I deserve a break. So he's chilling, you know. And I think this just goes to unpack the importance of keeping yourself busy with the right things and not being idle. So David was idle in this moment, and that was his weakness, his first weakness. Secondly, he saw the woman bathing. Fair enough, he was on the roof, you know, it's okay. He sees the girl, he sees the woman, and then he does not turn away. Instead, he goes, he asks someone to go find out who that woman is. So instead of drawing himself away and saying, you know what, actually I should be worshiping the Lord or just spending time in God's presence, he entertains the thought. Not only entertains the thought, he starts planning. So David sinned intentionally. It wasn't something that happened by accident. He sinned intentionally, and the Bible says about sexual sin, flee. Don't even try and think, you know, I got this. Flee from sexual temptation, you know. But he chose to entertain it. Then David tries to hide his sin. But also, David has to sin again to kind of cover what he's done already. So he kills someone else's husband. And David knew who Bathsheba was. The guy came back and told him, this is Eliam's daughter and Uriah's wife, knowing that he still intentionally went ahead and slept with her, right? But I think what's critical for me are the far-reaching consequences that then happen afterwards. You know, it's not just about David. Some real stuff happens afterwards. And just to highlight to you guys, this is what David is told after he sins. Number one, your family will rebel against you. Secondly, someone else will sleep with your wives. Thirdly, murder will be rife in your family. And we just see it play out. Okay. So David had five wives. The first wife's son is Amnon. So Amnon rapes his half-sister, and he gets murdered by his brother because the brother's taking revenge. Like, how could you rape your sister? I'm going to kill you. So he kills his brother. Then Bathsheba's child, remember, she comes back and says, I'm pregnant. That child doesn't live. He dies. Then Absalom kills Amnon, but flees and then returns and sleeps with his father's concubines. 10 of them. Then Adonijah, who is rebellious, sets himself up as king before his father's even passed away and gets killed by Solomon, right? These are brothers, and this is all going on in the family because of David's one moment with Bathsheba. Sorry. And then finally, Solomon. Solomon becomes the king of Israel and has 700 wives. Right? This is David's son. How? Exactly. How? Ganjan. 700 wives and 300 concubines all to himself. But the trouble that he goes through because of this complicated situation with all these wives and concubines. But I guess for me, it's highlighting the consequences of lust. In that moment when David saw Bathsheba, he thought, you know, it starts with the look, then you delve into it further, then ultimately, this is a generational thing. Now your whole family line is messed up because of that one decision you made to sleep with someone else's wife. So, I mean, lust, it looks good initially, but ultimately it's there to destroy us, you know. So I'm just going to hand over to husband to take us through how we how we deal with lust. Practically, how do you actually deal with lust, and what are the ways you can guard against going through what David went through in whatever shape or form?
Okay, all right, guys. So I think the main theme really that's coming out is the fact that really our decisions and the choices we make, they don't just affect us, you know. Sometimes they live long after we're gone, you know. One of my favorite movies, Gladiator, there's a scene there where Maximus says, what we do in life echoes in eternity, you know. And that's like one of my favorite lines, you know, that I live and keep reminding myself of. And that's exactly what we see here, that one moment of letting his guard down, you know, echoes into far, I think as you read the Bible down, further down the family tree, you still see the effects of some of David's choices. So it's important to pay attention to what we allow ourselves to get into. And concerning lust, just going to share a few pointers on how to actually fight it in our lives and how we do that. First of all, I think knowing our identity in Christ, you know, God has called us, He's set us apart to live holy lives. You know, the Bible calls us we're the light of the world. You know, you don't light a candle and put it under the table, but you set it up for it to give light and for men to see. You know, it calls us the salt of the earth. All those things, that's what God has called us. But so many times we find ourselves trying to fit into the world, you know, trying to look like the world. You know, we shouldn't be. Yes, we are in the world, but the Bible says we are not of it, you know. We need to be set apart. So we need to know who we are. You know, David was supposed to be the warrior in battle leading his army, but forgot who he was and finds himself seeing a woman. And we get another good example with Samson. Samson was set apart by God, before birth, and he was supposed to be a Nazarene. You know, he wasn't supposed to touch alcohol, he wasn't supposed to eat certain things, and all those sorts of things. Why? Because God had set him apart to lead Israel. But what did he do? He let his lust get out of control, seeing Philistine women and asking his parents, I want to marry them. And God had told him that you're not supposed to intermarry. But he let his feelings, you know, his lust get the best of him. And what does Samson end up doing? He ends up being a grinding mill, literally, just pushing a grinding mill with no eyes. And that's not where God had intended him to be. But because he forgot who he was, he forgot that he was a Nazarene, he wasn't supposed to fit in, he ends up there, you know. There's this quote that Nondi shared on Facebook a while ago, you know, I thought it was kind of profound. It says, the next time you sin or think of sinning, instead of asking yourself why you keep doing the same thing continuously, or rather why you cannot seem to learn from your past mistakes, ask yourself, what potential does the devil see in me so much that he feels threatened enough to keep trying to steal, kill, or even destroy in me? Surely there has to be something great in you, or else he wouldn't bother with continuously knocking at a door that yields no profit. You know, the Bible tells us that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he's about in our lives, you know. He's after stealing and destroying that which God has destined us to be, and he will stop at nothing. And one of the tools that he uses are our feelings, lust, you know. I can think of many people in my family that were destroyed by failure to control their lust. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen, but the enemy sees what God has put in you, and he comes at you from all angles, and lust is one of those things. And maybe just before I show this clip, the second pointer is self-control, practicing self-control. The Bible in Proverbs says, a man without self-control is like a city without walls, you know. And this clip just shows the idea or the concept from which, you know, the analogy is made. You know, back in the day, cities used to be protected by walls. And so this clip just shows. Okay, so basically, that's the idea behind city walls. Back in the day, cities were built with walls around them to make sure that no one comes in at will. You know, you had to, there was control, access control into every city. And the Bible, and it says that without self-control, we're like a city without walls. You know, raiding armies would just come in and take what they want. And it's the same with us. You know, without self-control, the enemy just comes in, whatever he wants to do in your life. He just comes in and does what he does, you know. When it comes to self-control, there's just a lot in our generation coming at us. I mean, you've got social media, you've got movies, you've got music. You know, the music you listen to, you know, what is coming through your ears? You know, you listen to profanity, you know, and if that doesn't, you know, if that doesn't flick a switch in you, you're allowing it to come into your ears, and whether you like it or not, it's going to shape how you think. The movies you allow yourself to watch, you know, you come across scenes that you can tell that I'm not supposed to be staring at this, you know. What do? Do you just sit there? Do you do something, you know? It gets worse. I mean, there's porn, there's just so much that is being thrown at the young generation in this day and age. And the Bible calls us to have those walls up. Have them up, you know, don't let them come down, because the moment you let them come down, the enemy is coming right through, and the Bible tells us he's up to killing and stealing and destroying. So self-control is very important. And then thirdly, memorizing the word, you know. This is David saying, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. You know, David had been there, done that. He had the experience. You know, David had lusted. He had seen the consequences of sin. And he says, how can a young person keep themselves pure? This is from the person who has experienced it. And somewhere in the word, he says, your word I've hidden in my heart so that I may not sin against you. You know, he's basically giving us the antidote to some of the struggles. And he's saying, your word have I hidden in my heart. So there is power in hiding God's word in your heart. And how do you do that? You study it. It's a simple, you know, some of these solutions sound too simple, but that's as simple as it is. You know, read the word, memorize it. Because in moments of weakness, that's what the Holy Spirit uses to remind you that, listen, you are royalty. You know, the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, you're reminded of those things, and that's how you're able to walk out of it. So it's very important to do the basic, you know, and to pray to God. God says, I know sometimes it's hard to, you know, the feelings are just too much to think that there is a way out of it. But God says that for every temptation that you go through, he has provided a way out of it, you know. And the Bible says that he's faithful. He will not send stuff that is too heavy for you. He is faithful. And it's important to remember that, to always go back to him, you know, ask him for the strength. Because on your own, it is almost impossible to overcome. And then lastly, walking in accountability, you know, I think this is one of the very important things that we can do for ourselves. I was telling the other guys that I like watching National Geographic, and for those of you that may know, lions, when they hunt, one of their strategies is to isolate. You know, they get to a place and there's a herd of buffalo or whatever it is. They chase. When the animals scatter, they just aim to isolate one. The moment it's isolated, 100% of the time it's going to be a kill, you know. And it's the same with us. The Bible says the devil roams around like a roaring lion, you know, seeking for whom to devour. And it's real, you know, it is real. And if you are isolated, the chances of going down are much higher, you know. But when you're in community, when you've got brothers that you can go to, and you've got sisters that you can go to and say, "Ish, I'm struggling," you know. There are people that can pray for you, people that can keep you accountable. So it's very important to live in community. Even with the leaders are here, you've got probably people, parents at home, but to make sure that you don't struggle alone. Because one of the lies that the enemy tells us is, it's you. No. Micah is fine. You have this problem. You think you're the only one. Meanwhile, all of us go through it. You know, all of us go through it. And the more you realize that all of us go through it, you fight with your brothers and your sisters, and there's more chances of victory there, you know, than when you're alone. Even Jesus didn't walk this earth alone. Got disciples with him. Jonathan, David had Jonathan, you know. So it's important to make sure that we walk in accountability. And James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." So just healing from sin sickness, you know. So it's very important to stay plugged in community. Usually the automatic or the trend is when you fall into sin, you tend to coil away from everybody else and keep your stuff to yourself, you know. But the Bible says we have each other, you know. So let's make use of that, okay? And in ending, maybe we can discuss what stood out for you, if anything, today, and how you'd what you would put in place to fight lust in your life going forward. I think we can take about 2 or 3 minutes for that. Yeah, so I think, yeah, it's important to think about the Word of God as you know, as what it is. You know, God gives us His Word. I know as a young person, or even sometimes as you grow up, it feels like it's stifling, you know. You've got those feelings, you feel a certain way, and it feels like, why should I be holding this back? And it feels like killjoy, actually. In fact, people outside the faith look at us and they call us all names, you know. You're boring, you know, you are, you know, you're going to decay in your purity or whatever it is, they in varsity, I can't even say some of the stuff they would say, but it's crazy. You actually you face ridicule just for standing for the truth, you know, and it feels like such a burden. But ultimately, God gives us His Word because He sees far beyond what we can see. He, as for our own protection, you know. And I was giving the example of a child, you know. As a parent, you know the child shouldn't get close to the fire, you know. But the child sees that fire, they don't know, you know. You keep pushing them away, and because you know the consequences of it. And it's the same with God. When He gave us His Word, He knew exactly what He's protecting us from, you know. So it's important to take His Word when He says, "Don't awaken love before the time," you know. It's just going to be sour, you know. So it's important to make sure we live by His Word. So in short, in summarizing, one, know your identity. Exercise self-control. Memorize the Word. You know, pray to God and walk in accountability. So That's it. We're going to pray and close. Okay. I'm going to pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, which David says is a light unto our path, is a lamp unto our path, and a light unto our feet. Thank you, Father, that living by your word, we will be able to reach our destiny and leave a legacy of holiness and purity, Lord. Thank you, Father, that it is not by might but by your power that we're able to overcome even the sin of lust, Lord. And we pray for just that, Lord. Help us to live by your Spirit. Help us to walk in step with the Spirit, Lord. Pray, Father, for everyone that is here, and just pray for a grace, Lord, even in this generation that we're living in, where we're inundated by sexual images almost everywhere that we turn. Lord, help us to stand out and be the light. Help us be the salt of the world, Lord God, not to fit in, but to seek to chase after your will, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you for today, and help us to apply your word in our lives as we go out. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so there will be devotions again during the week. I would advise, I know, you know, you probably, your WhatsApp is probably enough reading for you, but but I'd highly recommend that, you know, we take time. If it's not in the evening when the devotions come through, maybe in the morning, take time and read through. It's, you know, it's encouraging, and it keeps the word alive inside. So devotions this week, Grace will be sending through the devotions, and I look forward to them. And next week we'll be looking at tragedy. I think it's Rose who's sharing, so looking forward to that. And hope you guys have an awesome week. Cool.